The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry with Joe McGill.
Good morning, how are you this morning? I'm Joe McGill and you're listening to the Saturday Supplement and I hope I find you well wherever you are listening to us around the world on RadioKerry.ie, on the Radio Kerry app or on the traditional wireless 96 to 98 FM. A very happy Valentine's Day to all you romantics out there as well. What a beautiful, beautiful morning it is this morning. It is cold, as my late neighbour Mike Handy once said. It was so cold this morning I went to the wardrobe and my suit was wearing my overcoat, but it's actually a real nice kind of cold. It's very crisp. We truly live in the kingdom. Driving up this morning, I had the road to myself. I say driving up now from Port Magee, and I was going along Kells Bay and looking across there at West Kerry and Corcugina and the Blaskets, and the water was almost turquoise because, you know, the sun was rising, and the sun in the sky then was pink and red and orange, and you could see for miles and miles. I could see the McGillicuddy Reeks, and there's a bit of snow dusting on them as well. I tell you, I don't think any artist could paint it or any film director could produce it. It was absolutely stunning. What a gorgeous place we live in. Now, lots happening on the programme this morning. We'll hear from Knocknagoshal historian and author about his new book, Go West, Young Man. That's Donal P. Murphy. The fictional book tells the story of an immigrant's dream to return home to his native Knocknagoshal from America. We'll also hear the final episode of An Artist's Kingdom, which features artists from around the county. There was 8 episodes in all. And this, the final episode, will feature Cloraglan-based artists Robert and Lucy Carter of the Grills Gallery, Cloraglan. We'll also have our Creative Kingdom, letting you know what's happening in the arts world around the county. And as always, Arts Officer with Kerry County Council, Kate Kennelly, will be along with some special guests. Big thank you to all of you who tune in to the Saturday Supplement every Saturday morning. We're absolutely delighted with the amount of you in the latest JNLR listenership figures, and across the board Radio Kerry had a massive increase in listenership, so it's great to hear. So thanks a million for making Radio Kerry your station of choice. Now, I was very sad to hear the news during the week of the passing of Lily Kelleher. Lily was 100 years of age, and if you'll remember, I only interviewed her in October, and we played the interview in November. And of course, she is Niamh Daly, who's here in Radio Kerry. She's her grandmother, and it was Niamh that introduced me, and I went to her house, and what a privilege it was to, and that's the kind of, I suppose, the perks of the job, getting to meet these people and finding out all about them, about their life. And Lily was born in Clahan on September 4th, 1925, and she grew up working hard on the family farm, and she later ran Quan's Bar, that's in Blenheville there, for 10 years for her cousin Mrs. Quan. And it was here that she first met her beloved husband Mikey. And the way she described Mikey as well, and very appropriate on Valentine's Day, that he was a real gentleman, and you could really feel the love there, as she had a love for her family. And she had a tough life. There was a lot of tragedy in her life as well, but my God, had she a wicked sense of humour as well. And how appropriate that in her final year, this Kerry obsessed fan would see her beloved kingdom win the Sam Maguire again. And I want to play you a little clip of Lily now, just from our interview, to give her a flavour of what she was like.
Tell me the 100th birthday party. It reverberated around the county. I heard there was a big celebration. You went back to your old workplace.
I did.
What was that like, returning there?
I was behind the bar by the servant.
Oh, good.
I didn't an empty glass in my hand that I could do. Yeah.
I'd say you'd be able to manage it all right. Huh? I'd say you would have been able to manage it all right.
Yeah, different, no. But they brought a Sam McGuire to me.
Oh, really? For your birthday party?
They did.
Oh, wow.
I had it in my hand.
Jeez, that was a great celebration, wasn't it? So James Costlow, the Kerry selector, from your club, St. Pat's.
Yeah.
See, he brought the cup.
He did, he did.
That was nice of him.
Oh, it was lovely.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
The Kerry team, in your 100th year, they honoured you by winning the All-Ireland for you. So what was that like?
He was delighted.
Yeah.
Oh, I love... I can't watch it all. I can't watch it for the first half. And they, if they're beaten, I won't be beaten. I have to run down the room.
What are you saying? The rosary or something below?
Yes,
praying for them.
Praying
for them. I said, because Michael said to me, "Mom, don't move now, because they're going to win it. I know." Like, and I stayed for the whole lot. And, oh, God, I was delighted when they won. Oh.
You were glad you stayed?
I'm glad. I was glad I stayed.
Yeah.
The other team are useless.
What do you think now in all your years... experience of watching the Kerry team that you'd be able to watch the full match? You get that excited still to this day?
I can.
Yeah.
I can. And I could drop in the middle of it.
We wouldn't want that in their concerts at all. And you'd be watching on the telly. Would you listen to the radio as well?
I would.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
To Tim and Ambrose.
Yeah, great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, what a great sense of humour Lily had. And the way she described watching the game and that she wasn't able to watch it. But she, like I said, she spoke so lovingly about her son and her daughters and her grandchildren and everyone else as well, and her many friends. So we're thinking of you all this morning, and may Lily rest in peace. We're going to go to a break and we'll have more after these.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry. Brought to you by Quinlan's Fish Shop and Seafood Bar, the Mall Tralee. Treat yourself to the freshest takeaway fish and chips today, right in the heart of Tralee.
That's what you listen to. If you want to get in touch with us, you can call us on 066-712-3666. Darvelous, take your calls. You can text WhatsApp 083-300-3300. Now, I have a new book here in front of me. Go West, Young Man. The fictional book tells the story of an immigrant's dream to return home to his native Knocknagoshal from America. It is, its author is Knocknagoshal man, Donald P. Murphy, and Donald wrote a great book a while ago about the history of Knocknagoshal as well, so I'm very much looking forward to talking to him this morning. But before I do that, let me read a bit of the foreword in the book, and it's by Dick Spring. It is a pleasure for me to introduce Donald P. Murphy's Go West, Young Man to his readership at home and abroad. All through this tome is evidence of Donald's love for home place, the village of Knocknagoshal and the surrounding townlands. The poetic names of many ring out throughout the pages. The major theme explored in this work is the connection, even if tragic, between Knocknagoshal and Chicago. It reminds me of another strong Kerry link, that between the Blasket Islands and Springfield, Massachusetts, where the islanders immigrated to after abandoning the island in 1954. The Irish communities remain very prominent in both cities. The story of Knocknagoshal brings back many memories to me, as in my youth. I would have accompanied my father, Dan Spring, on his regular visits to Walsh's Bar in the village. Or as my mother would put it, go off with your dad and keep him company. Simple times indeed. It also reminds me of the strong connection and friendship between my father and Eddie Walsh, who were lifelong friends after their years playing for Kerry. It is also great to see Eamon and Helen and family keeping up the tradition and providing customary hospitality in the village. However, I was blissfully unaware of the strong connection between Knocknagoshal and Chicago, the city best known to us all through the political exploits of Mayor Richard Daley. Donald's memories of the American Wake, of which there were many down the years, are well recorded. These were difficult times for the immigrant and those who were left behind. Sad to relate, but on many occasions families were never to meet up again, as the young immigrants went about finding a new life in a distant land. How different from today, when young sportsmen and women can cross the Atlantic over a weekend to play in championship games. Linking Knocknagoshal with the Mafia is definitely a first for me, and in this case it is surely a tragic story. But of course, anything is possible in the land of the mighty dollar. The old adage, if it's too good to be thought, it is too good to be true. But this tragic story of the son of Knocknagoshal and the Italian mafia puts the godfather in the halfpenny place. And it goes on. But it's some forward, Donal, and it kind of sums up, I suppose, the kind of journey of this book for you. There's very much yourself in this. So, Donal, let's talk about you first. You grew up next to that bar that we're talking about there, Walsh's, didn't you?
Correct, next door to Eddie Walsh's pub, yes.
And that was that a rambling house?
Our house was the rambling house down through the years. Mm. And the lads, we know, my mother had no daughters. The lads just come in as they pleased and play cards there and have a cup of tea and sing a few songs. And it was a great asset to my father and mother when both I and my brother Jim went to Birmingham, because it helped to relieve the sorrow when we were alone in the house. And the lads still kept coming in, playing their cards and telling the odd story and enjoying themselves.
Mm. You had a friend that was he principal in Broston Ashton School, I think.
That's right, Tom. That was a friend there, Jimmy Kirby, who was the principal in Broston Ashton School.
Yeah,
a very good friend, and he was. They had no young. You know, he lived in Gortrue, where there was no young fellow of his age. He our house was his place. He lived there, and he went home from school, came back again, and enjoyed his card game and. He was quite a good card player.
Yeah. But I you sent me in the direction of an interview Mary J. Lean, the famous stained glass expert, conducted with you in Walsh's Bar. And Mr. Kirby spoke about when he left, when you and your brother immigrated, the sense of loss that was there, because there wasn't a lot going on. So the Ramley House was a saviour for him. And I imagine for your parents then as well, because there was people coming in.
Definitely. And it helped to lessen the sorrow that they had been, they were all alone. No, they were quite old at that stage, they were the 70s, and they were alone in the house. And the company, they enjoyed the company. And they played cards with the lads.
Yeah. What was it like for yourself leaving at 18 to go to Birmingham? Was it kind of a thing that was everyone was doing it, or was it like you had to do it, or was there a sense of adventure attached to it?
I think we had to do it. Mm. I was at that time, there was no prospects of work, and for quite a bit after, well, we had De Valera in power at that stage, and he had an idea that he didn't want any connection with foreign policy, and he needed girls dancing at the crossroads and women in the house and jobs. There was no foreign investment at all until Shanley Mas came about, and he created a new era.
Mm. What year did you go to Birmingham, and what did you do over there?
1958.
Whoa.
I went to Birmingham, and I had experience in lathe work and turning, and I worked on a capstan lathe for 6 years over there, the one job.
There was a lot of Kerry people in Birmingham, you know, over the years, and I'd say from...
We had a great organisation there. We had the Kingdom Football Club, and we had the Kerry Men's Association, and we also ran the Rose of Tralee competition and brought the pipe band from Birmingham to the Rose of Tralee in 1961, and Rose that time was from Birmingham, won the Murphy. There was a big night celebration in Achnagoshel, and we had a Cayley in Abbey Field with Patrick O'Carroll, and people, the senior citizens out there are speaking about it at the moment, and they're recalling the night. It was one of the hectic nights in Achnagoshel.
Yeah.
A torchlight procession and welcomed by the parish priest who gave Matthew Trasher, the exile previously, he gave him a green and gold scarf, and he gave him a wallet of notes and a prayer book, and taught him say Mass, or go to Mass, and keep the faith.
Yeah.
It took me then that buried him when he was shot in Chicago. When he was returned, the body was returned to Dr. Marshall.
Yeah. Let's talk about the book. So it's called Matt the Trasher, Go West, Young Man. Now, yes, this character is a kind of, I suppose, he's based on a real person, but he's a fictional character. So describe the whole story to us.
Well, this Matt the Trasher was a Tipperary man by Charles Kickham in his famous book, Knockmagow. There are several pubs in Tipperary called Matt the Trasher's. And he did everything for the credit of the little village. He was put up against a British Army officer to compete, and he didn't have the same athletic abilities, but he had courage and he had the heart. And he said he'd do it for the credit of the little village, which he did. The little village was called Knockmagow, which is a famous classic book. Most people have read it.
Okay. And you kind of introduced this character as if he was from Knocknagoshal then, basically.
Exactly. We felt that there was a bit of a trash in every parish.
Yeah.
And maybe two in some parishes. then I must give credit to Mike Danny O'Shea, who wrote a book on Chicago.
Mm.
He was there for 12 years. And he had put a bit of the plot together regarding the crime and the romance part of it. And I got his permission to use a bit from that book.
So
published in Irish and never published. Tahi has asked me to translate it to English.
Okay. So our hero, our protagonist, he leaves for Chicago. And describe a bit of the plot to what happens over there. And we won't want to give away the whole story now.
Oh, no. Well, after 30 days cutting turf with his father, he found out that was not his life. So he immigrated to Chicago. Now, why he went to Chicago, nobody knows. But it's probably the facilities at Gaelic Park in Chicago. He was a very all-round athlete and footballer. And he went to Chicago. He was very successful at first in Chicago and played fullback for the Kerry team in Chicago. But the bright lights and easy money got to him. And he, first of all, he joined the Irish mafia. Then he changed colour and joined the Italian mafia. He was the first man to be accepted into the Italian mafia. And this proved very difficult for him and was the cause of his downfall. He was shot in the back streets, gun battles in Chicago, and he had no kit or kin in Chicago. But the boss man, the chairman of the Gaelic Park, ordered an oak coffin and had 2 days of mourning for him in Gaelic Park, and had him transferred back to Ireland by plane to Shannon and to Knocknagoshal. Further to that, he was lucky. A priest by the name of Father Staunton came on the scene of the murder and gave him absolution and heard his confession and anointed him, because Father Staunton had marked him at football 2 weeks before in Gaelic Park when there was a game between Kerry and Mayo. He gave Father Staunton a message to take to his partner back in Ireland who was the mother of his alleged son. And well, that message is borne by the seal of the confessional. But Father Staunton did that and sympathised with his parents here in Ireland and travelled for the funeral.
There's a lot going on in it, isn't there? As like every good page turner, it'll keep you on your toes. Don't stay with us, we're going to a break, but I want to talk to you about the American Wake, because that features in the book, but also it is something that you witnessed yourself, so I want to talk to you about that as well. My guest this morning is Donald P. Murphy. We're talking about his book, Matt the Treasure, Go West, Young Man, and we'll tell you where you can get that and all that very soon. If you want to get in touch with the program, 0667123666. You can text the WhatsApp 083 300 3300.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry, brought to you by Quinlan's The Mad Monk in Killarney, serving the finest seafood in a cosy modern atmosphere. Book your special experience today at seafoodbar.ie.
Yeah, get in touch with us, 0667123666. Devil is take your calls. You can text WhatsApp 083 300 3300. I wonder if any of you memories of the American Wakes, or what they were like, or, you know, people belong to you when they left and they might never have come back. We're speaking this morning with Donald P. Murphy about his new book, Go West, Young Man. The fictional book tells the story of an immigrant's dream to return home to his native Knocknagoshal from America. And Matt the Trasher, I should say, is on the front of this book. There's a caricature of him, and I wouldn't like to meet him down the back Boreen. I tell you, a dark Boreen. Donald, the American Wake, you actually witnessed them yourself. What were they like?
There were one or two of them held in our own house in Knocknagoshal. One, the Donahoe sisters, four of them went to the States, and the American wakes for granted until 4 in the morning when the goodbyes had to be said. Mm. Then they became a very sad occasion. But the four girls of the Dunhos went. Just one of them came back and married a farmer. The other three remained in the U.S. And the O'Connors, they call them the Gerbats in Mean Reason, found four of the finest men you could find, 6 foot or 6 foot tall. They went to England. One of them just came back to look after the farm. The other three remained in England. And I think there's one of them alive in England all the time.
Mm.
But it was a sad occasion when he came to saying goodbye. And, it was a feature of the times. There was no work. And a lot of these, going to America was a one-way ticket. You might never come home. You may end up come home to see your father and mother when they were, or to bury your father and mother. You couldn't afford to come home, in other words.
Yeah. There was a film, Brooklyn, I don't know, have you seen it, Saoirse Ronan, but it kind of describes that of Levy on the boat and coming home for a funeral. But some people, like, I can't imagine thinking you're going to go and you're never coming back. And then maybe, you know, your parents put you on a brave face, but what they must have felt like in the weeks and months after. It must have been devastating.
Very hard times, very tough times. There's a nice article in the book from Maud McQuinn, who went at 18 years of age. She had won the three tops of the town, a great singer, a great musician. And she went, I think she spent 8 weeks going there by boat and got sick several times. But she ended up in Chicago anyway at the end, and she did very well in Chicago, was on TV and everything, and a grand musician, very, very talented. She was Maud McQuinn. She's still alive, actually, and she wrote a book. She's from Ballymacarrigan, and the book was entitled Maud, Tell Us Your Story. And the request was from her grandchildren.
Yeah. You know, arriving over in America, you know, you'd hear the songs, the streets are paved with gold. You'd hear that about London and places like this. They were romanticised. But as you kind of tell in the book, you know, there was a lot of hardship when the Irish got over to America as well. And some of them didn't have the fairy tale ending when they got over there.
Quite right. In America, you got nothing for nothing. There were signs on the doors. No coloured... No dogs, no Irish, and some of the landladies, but the Irish kept to themselves, and they organised, and they formed unions, and they were very much very prominent in the union, especially in New York, with Mike Quill and Joe O'Connor from Brooklyn, who owned the paper in New York. They were organising the Irish, and the Irish eventually, they elected Mayor Daley in Chicago, and he was 21 years in his position. And of course, we can't forget about the Castle Island engineers. They controlled City Hall. And if you wanted a job there, you had to see them and get the approval.
The Castle Island engineers, I don't think I heard about them, yeah.
They were very prominent. Some of them were American-born, others were from Castle Island area. But they were great. They were great supporters of Daley, and they had his voice and his acceptance. And if you wanted a job with the corporation, well, they say you had to produce the brown envelope for the union sick leave fund, which was supposed to be for the union sick leave fund. And then you got your job.
Yeah, the Irish are a sticky bunch too, and Kerry, you know, like, especially if you kind of are going over there, you're not going over there to see the world, you go over there for a job, you'll try and cling to the familiar and try and cling to people you know from home, and you'll maintain those cultures and traditions as well to remind you of Kerry and in Knocknagostle's case, of your village.
Oh yeah, they never forgot their traditions, and they enjoy their dances and their music. And they're singing the Irish that went over, you know. They had a good life in America, better than they had here. But the thing is, they were homesick a lot of the time.
Mm. An amazing amount of research had to go into this book. You were over in Chicago yourself, Donald, were you?
Yeah. My niece over there, Anne Langan, she did a lot of research, and she got me some photos of the younger people in Chicago who have now taken up Gaelic football and hurling, and they'd be in their teens and that. They still remain Irish, and they have a name for a person born of Irish parents in Chicago. They call them an Arabac, and that name given to somebody born in Chicago of Irish descent.
Okay.
And also then Mike Denny O'Shea, he's the title of his book was about
the Greenhorn, or he'd a Hignaut Titarm as well, was his,
he wrote quite a few books. Actually, this one about Chicago was it was quite good, actually. It is the plot is quite good in it.
Yeah.
It comes to me. Greenhorn was the name.
That's what I thought about. Yeah, Greenhorn.
Was the guy that goes to America first.
And a newbie. They're wet behind the ears. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Mike Dineen had a great way of writing. We were back when I was in transition. We were back in Ballantaggart House in Dingle, and he came to visit us just to talk about his book, a Hignaut Titarm, because it was going to be coming up in the Leaving Cert for us. But he spoke mainly through Irish. But geez, you could understand every word he was saying. He was a great storyteller, and he had the accordion with him. But he brought that. It was, you know, sometimes you'd be reading books in school and you wouldn't want to be reading them. But this one, I love reading it. It was really, because it was kind of our own, you know?
Yeah, he's Irish from the cradle, like, and he was a great musician as well, and a good mixer.
Yeah. The other side of, you know, the immigrant story is a lot of people went to England then as well. And you mentioned Birmingham and London and then places we hear about like the Crown and Cricklewood. These are all kind of famous in our immigrant story, aren't they?
And then the Galtymore.
The Galtymore, yeah.
Our Martha Thrasher hated England because of the 1916 rising and what they did to the leaders, and also what they did during the famine, diverting supplies to their own country when they were sent from America to Ireland. And he couldn't see himself giving his skills to England, so he went west. Mm. And by the way, the title of the book, Go West, Young Man, it was a film at one stage in the 1930s by Prince Army West, and It was a very popular film, and that was the title, Go West, Young Man.
Yeah, Go West, I remember that, yeah. You're a proud Knocknagoshal man, Donal, and you wrote the history of it. Well, it was a collection then of lots of contributors as well, and you coordinated and contributed yourself. It's kind of made famous as well, by Parnell, isn't it? Arise,
Knocknagoshal, and take your place among the nations of the earth.
Yeah.
Well, they did go down to Fieldsbridge because Parnell, Father Casey and Abbey Field, they had an idea that he wasn't going to allow Parnell through. But sure, Father Casey was a supporter of Parnell.
Mm.
And they went down to Fieldsbridge to ensure that he got through to speak in Newcastle West. But Con Holland, the great man in Castlehead and great writer, sports writer, he was asked by Michael O'Regan, who was called from the Dáil there for years with us Radio Kerry.
Yeah.
He was asked, did this really happen? Did Knocknagoshal arise and take his place among the nations of the earth? So Connie thought for a while and he said, it did, Michael, and you missed it.
Oh, brilliant. Donal, stay with us. We're going to be talking more. And I know you're going to be doing a mural in Knocknagoshal, and there's lots more to talk about there. My guest is Donal P. Murphy, Knocknagoshal native and of Tralee as well. His book is Matt the Treasure, Go West, Young Man. And we'll be hearing more from Donal after these.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry. Brought to you by Quinlan's Fish Shops and Seafood Bars located across the county, serving the freshest seafood to Kerry families since 1963.
Yeah, and we're speaking to the author of Matt, the Treasure Go West Young Man, Donal P. Murphy from Knocknagoshal. Donal, we mentioned about all the people that immigrated and, you know, never came back, but you did come back and you were able to make a life for yourself here.
Yes, we always intended coming back. Quite a number of us went at the time in 68 when I immigrated. My cousin, Dan Joe Murphy, came back. He opened the Falter Bar in Abbey Field. I came back. Quite a number in Birmingham came back. Simon Healy, they all came back. And they always intended coming back. But we stayed with the Irish culture in Birmingham. We had a fish there with 5,000 members. And we had adjudicators from Ireland here. In fact, that man you spoke about, Jimmy Kirby, he adjudicated there. And we had dancing, singing, music, and Irish language in the at the Fish, 5,000.
5,000 members?
Right in Birmingham, competitors in Birmingham.
That's astounding, Donal, isn't it? 5,000? Just shows how many did go over there and the connections over there,
Well, it went on 2 weekends, and you had a lot of English-born of Irish descent that competed and could sing an Irish song, you know, very well.
Hmm.
But we became a club then, and we got into the finals of the intermediate. We had Father O'Donoghue from Phoenix. He's not a Merson, he's dead now. He played with us, and Father Donnelly from Brusna, and they were a great help. And then we had the Rose of Tralee. We brought the band, the Pipe Band, O'Connor Band, to Tralee for the Rose, and they were entertained by the Rose people in Tralee. And went to Abbey Field for a Cayley with Patrick O'Carroll. But we got immersed ourselves in Irish tradition in Birmingham, and that kind of softened the exile experience. And we never intended to remain anyway in Britain.
Mm. And what did you do when you came back? What did you go at?
When I came back, I got a job in the mines in Tipperary.
The silver mines, is it?
Well, it was the Gorter mines. It was okay. The same. They didn't think the same as silver mines.
Okay.
Northgate Exploration with the maiden the company running it, Northgate Exploration, Pat Hughes and his brother from Allies, McCarthy, Pat McCarthy and Richie McCarthy. But I was with them for 10 years until they all ran out.
Okay.
Then I came to Castle Island, and I had no house because I was in a company house with the mines. I bought a pub in Castle Island and ran it for another 12 years, and then opened the hardware shop in Tralee for 22 years. So I've been around a bit.
And what was the hardware shop called?
Murphy's Hardware.
Oh, yeah. So people would know you well around Tralee. Tell us about this mural, Donal.
Well, the mural was being done by Mary B. Lean, and she's going to be the Ramling House with the 6 or 7 card players at the table and the Stanley range and the puppet tea and the musician or two. And she's going on an 8x4 sheet of Marion Ply, and to be on a wall in the Parma Square in Knocknagoshal. Now, there'll be also this CR in it that you can zoom into, and it will tell you the story of the Ramling House by zooming into it with your mobile.
Oh, wow.
Which would be very good, like, and that would be ready in about three or four weeks' time. She's working on it at the moment.
Oh, so that'll be like a QR code or something you can scan and you tell, yeah.
Exactly, a QR code.
Yeah, yeah, brings you to that wonderful story that I saw that where she did the interview with Mary Jaylene. Yeah, that's... She's very... Mary is very talented, isn't she? Like, her stained glass work is absolutely amazing. Yeah. So this will be a real feature. This will be worth going to see to the village, won't it?
It is. I said that we should take an award because she did such a good job, you know.
Yeah.
And she does a real good job. And she won the Castle Island for Father Brick recently. And every job she does is fairly accomplished and good, you know.
Yeah. She didn't lick it off the ground either. Her father is very talented with his hands as well.
Really, a good sculptor.
Yeah, yeah. Your book, who is it dedicated to? There's a few dedications in it.
It's dedicated to my brother-in-law, John Woods, my wife's brother. And the sad thing about it, he died on the 6th of February this year.
Oh.
he just had the book a day or two. He couldn't read it. He just looked through the pages. He was pretty bad with the lung problem and that.
Okay.
And he passed away on the 6th of February in Chicago. He was in Chicago since he was 18 years of age.
Wow.
And he says he wouldn't recommend any young man to go to Chicago now. There are 5 murders a day there.
Yeah. Things have changed. Going from 18 again, you can't get your head around. Like, he's longer in America than he is here, you know, by a considerable way.
I was married there, and he has 2 sons and a daughter. They're, one of them is an accountant, the other guy is in the fire brigade. The daughter is a specialised nurse.
Yeah. Yeah, the Irish, they built America, didn't they? And you see the jobs they went at. It is Valentine's Day. You neglected to say you've dedicated to your wife as well.
Well, she did a lot. She endured a lot of shock. Table was taken over here. She couldn't have even bought a soup because the table was littered with cuttings of all sorts. But that's all over now, thank God. And she says, no more books for a while.
Till the next one. There's some amazing photos, and we don't have time now to go through all of them, but there is, isn't there, like, of kind of both sides of the pond really talking about it. So it's really good. I heard in your interview, with Mary J. Lean, you talked about posterity, or, you know, holding on to things and preserving things. I think it's very important. I'd imagine you do as well, to kind of write it down and capture it before it's gone.
Yeah, they say what you leave after is the important thing, you know.
Mm.
And there's a picture in that book, as you mentioned, of an old priest, Father Rivar Branagh. He liked his name in Irish, but he was 50 years in Achnagashel. He built a presbytery there, and he did an awful lot of good work, but he got old. And then Father Hearn was sent out to help him. And Father Hearn put on the famous pageant out there of Lourdes.
Yeah, this is Father Hearn of Sheim Satira, fame, is it? Yeah, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Right. It was supposed to last for a week. It lasted for a month. They came from all over.
Yeah.
To view it. And Father Hearn, the people in Africa supported him in everything that he wanted. And he had to teach them everything because he was experienced. He was a great musician and a great traditional Irishman.
Yeah. We're out of time, Donald, but where can people get the book?
It's in O'Mahony's, and it's in Polymath, and it's in Jackie Reedy's in Castle Island, and all the other outlets that the other book was in, the history book.
Yeah.
That'd be the pubs in Achnagashel and post office in Brushton and shops all over.
Yeah, that's still available as well, is it?
It is, yeah. And that's a collector's item, because that's a coffee table book, and it's a fantastic book.
Yeah, and I often say about these books, like my uncle now did, like the Talonics above Lynch Island, you don't need necessarily have to have a connection to the area either, because they're talking about the way life was in Ireland and in Kerry. You know, they're important to kind of collect from that point of view as well.
Well, definitely. For posterity, as you said earlier on.
Yeah.
At least we hope that they'll. Well, we have a guy in Knocknagar. We had a guy in Knocknagar, a great songwriter. He was Ty Gordon. He wrote songs about the cheese, making the cheese, and the Yorkshire pigs, local songs. And he wrote a song about the Gat, which was a little house on the river.
Yeah.
But he was famous as a songwriter.
Yeah.
And he said, young men and comely maidens, my songs will be singing when I'm resting my feet by the banks of the field. He's buried inside the church gate in a wee field.
What a great way to finish the interview, Donald P. Murphy. Thanks a million for taking the time to come on to talk to us this morning, Donald. Slán Tamil. That is Donal P. Murphy, Matt the Treasure Go West, young man. Editors Donal P. Murphy, Tralee, and Anne Lang in Chicago and Tipperary. What a great book it is, and congratulations to him on it. And it's available now in all good bookshops and Mahoney's as well. We're going to take a break for the news at 10, and in the next hour we'll have an artist kingdom and also creative kingdom. So I'll join you again in the next hour.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry. Brought to you by the new family fish box at Quinlan's Seafood Bars. Packed with golden fish goujons, fresh squid, delicious prawns, and tasty homemade chips. Order yours to take away today.
The Saturday Supplement with Joe McGill on Radio Kerry.
Now we're into the second hour of the Saturday Supplement, and I hope you're enjoying the programme so far. Now it's time for the final episode of An Artist's Kingdom, where we profile artists from around the county. And this is episode 8, and in this episode we go to Robert and Lucy Carter of the Grills Gallery in Clogdon, right by the River Lown.
This documentary is a Kishta Communications production, funded by Cumashuna Man with a television licence fee.
This is Artist's Kingdom, an 8-part radio series that takes listeners on an immersive journey into the diverse and vibrant world of artists in County Kerry. Through the lens of creativity, we will explore the unique cultural landscape that has inspired generations of artists, shaping their work and contributing to the rich artistic tapestry of the region. The series will gather some of the finest artists in the county, where they share a dedication to their art. We will explore some of the most impressive and interesting Kerry-based artists today, who are truly doing their county proud. The Grills Gallery has been established in Clogdon over the last number of years by Lucy and Robert Carter. The gallery primarily exhibits contemporary prints and drawings, as well as photographic and digital media, and moving image and sound works. Between shows, owners Lucy and Robert Carter are screen printing and hanging their own work. But they have opened their doors to other artists to exhibit their work, and this has proved a major asset for the arts world within the county. 20 years of collaborations with artists, architects, curators and museums in the UK had encouraged Robert and Lucy to establish a screen printing studio and gallery on the banks of the River Lown in Clogdon. Lucy and Robert studied information design at Central St Martin's and Harrow School of Art respectively, and having specialised in graphic design for museums in London for some years, they moved to Somerset before relocating to Ireland. Whilst Robert studied art at school, he didn't pursue it as a career straight away.
Well, I studied art at school, all right, up to, in England, to O-level standard. But I didn't pursue it then for quite a long time after I left school. I worked as in various other professions. I was a land surveyor for quite a while. And I went to art school as a mature student. I think I was 24, to study graphic design. So that was 3 years of that. And then I worked at the Institute of Contemporary Arts in London, which is an art gallery, a theatre, cinema. And I did all their posters and publicity and catalogues. Met a lot of artists, for sure, but I was a graphic designer. Then after that, gradually the route that I followed in graphic design was working for museums and art galleries. And in the course of that, I met Lucy, and we specialised then definitely on signage and exhibition design for museums. Then when we decided to move here, to come to Ireland, we eventually got here in 2021. Because of COVID, we were delayed. But we decided to stop working commercially and to pursue our own printmaking, so doing our own designs and silkscreen printing them.
Growing up, Lucy always had a love of art.
At primary school, the boys did art and the girls did sewing and knitting, until I badgered my parents anyway, and they came around and they went to the school and petitioned the school, and then the girls were taught art. So I think I've always had a grow for art. Studied it at secondary school in Athlone, and then studied graphic design in Athlone. I went to London then to art college when I finished there, and met Robert, and we started working together, as he said, museums and so forth. And then before moving back to Ireland, we retrained as screen printers. And we had a mentor, Simon, over in Bristol, who taught us. And then we came here with a list of kit and put together our print studio. We had extra space, so the gallery was born then from extra space. And of course, once you start to do something like run a gallery, you want to do it properly. So it takes up quite a lot of time. So we print and run the gallery.
How was it that Robert and Lucy chose Killorglin to settle and set up the Grills Gallery?
My mother lives in Killorglin, and she was born here, and I came down every summer holidays. We lived in the Midlands in Athlone, and that's why I went to college there. But every summer it was in the car for 4.5 hours down to Kerry, and gloriously long hot summers here because it never rained then. This building that we're in is the fishery on the Lown, and it's been here since, well, hundreds of years. And the word grilse is a salmon returning to the river for the first time. And as we were returning, it just felt kind of irresistible. We had to grab it as a name. So I'm coming home for the first time, having been in London and England for 25 years.
So was it a big risk to establish such a venture in Killorglin?
It was a big risk, but, you know, it was COVID. We'd done Brexit in England, it was COVID. It was the time to take risks. I think everybody rethought their lives around COVID and what they really want to do. We had no idea that there would be huge demand from artists for a space to show work. So that was a bit of a revelation. And there, looking around in Kerry, there are precious few spaces for artists to show in.
One of the great things about running the gallery is that everybody who walks in the door is going to be interesting. So we have lots of fascinating conversations about where they're from, whether they're locals, whether they're holiday makers, whether they're from overseas. And a lot of people coming are, of course, artists. And so it's fascinating to look at their work. I mean, there's Seamus Tira in Tralee, there's Kilreelig down in Banniskelligs, and there might be a couple of small galleries in Killarney, but who mainly focus on one artist's work continually, whereas we have a changing programme of 6 or 7 exhibitions a year. We try and exhibit as wide a group of artists as we possibly can.
Yeah, we've met lots of friends through opening the doors of the gallery. The artists come in, we don't know them, but very soon a friendship strikes up. We get to know them and get to know their work, so it is a nice relationship we have with them. Every exhibition changes the space. I'm kind of amazed at how that happens, because it is the same space, but yet when you put another artist's work into it, it completely changes it.
Within their screen printing studio, Robert and Lucy have a variety of tools and machines at their disposal.
Well, there's basically two main machines. There's what we call a print table and the exposure unit over there in the corner. It is a complicated process. Each colour in the print requires 3 or 4 different processes to get from the artwork onto a prepared screen. We use photographic emulsion, and we put that on the screen, harden it off, then expose it in the ultraviolet light. The parts of the stencil which have not been exposed to light get washed away then. And so you get a physical representation of the artwork. It's a nylon mesh, and you then squeeze ink through that nylon mesh onto the paper. Then you have to wash the screen, dissolve the stencil, dry it, and then you start again for the next colour. So although we only print a small quantity of prints, sometimes only 3 or 4 copies of each one, it's not likely that we'd print more than 2 colours a day, and that would take a full day because of the number of small steps in the process.
Screen printing is a very technical process, but it is also a highly creative one.
It is probably the most difficult way to get an image onto paper is printmaking. So etching or carborundum or screen printing as we do is a technical process. So the creative stuff is in the beginning, where you dream up the image, and then you're making the stencils to create the image. But in the process of printing as well, something happens that you might be a combination of colours of inks, or you might use a metallic, and the process doesn't just stop where you've conceived of the image. The artistic process goes through the print process as well. For, let's say we're looking at, Robert's bringing out a print now. This one here, the boy, he's at 1, 2, 3, 4 colours. So Robert said 2 colours a day maximum. I'd more or less say 1 colour a day. So he would have taken 4 days to produce. Once we'd come up with the image, and the image can be months in the making before we start printing.
One of the print collections they have created are inspired by the 1928 Irish Free State coin designs, championed by W.B. Yeats.
The first Irish coins were commissioned in 1928. Ironically, the designs are by an English sculptor, Percy Metcalf, but he was chosen by a committee which was chaired by W.B. Yeats, and the committee asked for designs of domestic and farm animals because they thought that reflected a good proportion of the Irish economy was based around farming. A lot of people didn't like that, and the coins became known as the Barnyard series. And some of them, the pigs and the chickens, people felt were a lowly subject.
But they are really beautiful.
They are very beautiful. Some of the most beautiful coins ever minted, I think. The designs were kept until 2002, when the euro came in. Some were modified for odd reasons. Some were reversed, left to right. There was another one was brought in quite late, which was a stag. But there were 8 originally. This print here is not one of Percy Metcalf's designs, and this was never made into a coin. The design is by Jerome Connor, the sculptor from Annascaw. And this design was... He entered the competition, but he wasn't successful. This was his design for a penny, and it was based on a portrait of his grandnephew.
I mean, lots of people say about the animals, it's great that we didn't have statesmen, that we had animals instead. It's a beautiful coin. But the boy, he was intended for the penny, which Jerome Connor associated with a child's coin. You got a penny for Christmas, or penny for penny sweet. Exactly. It makes the set of coins complete for me. I mean, we've done all of the animals, and we call this print in particular The Lost Boy. And this article in the book by Fintan O'Toole does reference that in the initial constitution, the protection of children was very important in the constitution, but yet we failed. We failed to protect children. And so we felt we had to do this one print as to complete the set.
Like the coin collection, Robert and Lucy's work usually follows a theme.
We do tend to work in themes. That one over there is the theme based on the Irish border between the Republic and the North. And we've done about 5 different versions of that. Sometimes overlaying it, as that one over there, overlaying it with the screenshot. It's Captain Picard and Data, and they're discussing whether terrorism ever resolves itself to a good conclusion. And Data says, well, don't you remember the Irish unification of 2024? Now, this was made in the early 90s. It was banned in America and in Ireland and the UK because it was seen to promote the Troubles in the North, the IRA. But it's only recently it has become available, and we watched it last year on YouTube, and we took that screenshot, and we thought it was
appropriate to print it in 2024.
Another theme Robert and Lucy developed was that of horses and jockey silks in particular.
Yeah, it's to do with horses and the jockey silks. I mean, I've loved horses since I can remember, really. And we've been fascinated by the shapes and the colour fields of jockey silks. And we started with Dawn Run, which is a horse that was bred by cousins of mine. So probably the first money I'd ever put on a race, and of course she won the Cheltenham Gold Cup, and the most successful mare in racing history. And from then we've done a set of silks, 5 silks, I think. We did Irish bred horses, so Red Rum, Tiger Roll, West Tip, that's Dawn Run, that's Arco. That is L'Escargot, And this one is Golden Miller. So that's the set.
So who are Robert and Lucy's customers?
Very difficult to identify from what demographic they come. Most of them are, let's say, older than 30. They've probably had an art education somewhere along the line. Many of them are overseas visitors. Americans are quite strong group of buyers.
I'm the UK. And yes. One of the demographics, if you like, that we see are people who've bought their own home, who want to buy that piece of art for the walls. So they'd be younger buyers of art in the gallery. Older people, they just love art and are building a collection. And some people come in and see something in the gallery and just say, I love that, you know.
Within each theme, they produce a limited number of prints.
So the boy, we did a dozen of the boy. We've done about a dozen of each of the coins, so that's a balanced set. They are fine art prints, and each one is very slightly different. They're handmade. With the border set of prints of Ireland, we're doing a run of three. So they're very precious then in that sense. So that's about the numbers we do. They're not huge, they never are. And when you get to printing about 100 of something, it's more on a commercial scale. So we keep it, you know, nice, small numbers.
Printmaking is Chinese in origin.
Well, the Chinese invented it, and that's why it's called, or one of the names for it, for the process, is silkscreen printing, because they used a mesh of silk. But nowadays, that's nylon, and so generally, well, we use the term screen print because people think, oh, you print on fabric if it's silkscreen. But no, lots of people do print on fabric. T-shirts can be screen printed, very common, but we just print on paper.
That's the first part of the episode of An Artist's Kingdom with Robert and Lucy Carter of the Grills Gallery, and we'll hear the second part after these.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry. Brought to you by Quinlan's Fish Shops and Seafood Bars located across Kerry. Enjoy a simple, healthy and easy dinner solution with Quinlan's fresh, ready-made seafood meals available in store.
Now let's return to the second part of the episode of An Artist's Kingdom with Robert and Lucy Carter of the Grills Gallery in Killorglin. And what do other Kerry artists think about the Grills Gallery in Killorglin? Here's artist Lisa Fingleton from Ballybunion.
Robert and Lucy are absolutely extraordinary, and it's kind of indescribable what they've actually brought to the Kerry art scene. Like, they're so generous with their time, they're so generous with their energy and the space. Like, they keep opening it up to people. I don't know how they do it. They're amazing. And it's so professional, and then they have, like, a photographer like Dave Ryan taking these extraordinary photographs. So I feel like they've really... like raised the bar in Kerry in terms of us having this wonderfully professional space along with other spaces that we have in Kerry. So I just think they're amazing. And do you know what they do? And they do it really well, is this idea of the Kerry, you know, artists working together and linking together. I mean, this is the main opportunity for us to connect. We connect at, you know, 12 o'clock on a Saturday every other month, and we get to support each other. And I just think they're absolutely extraordinary, and I couldn't speak more highly of them, really.
My name is Rochelle Lucy. I'm based in Killorglin, and I'm a visual artist. Lucy and Robert of the Grills Gallery, they're like such hard workers. They've just got the nail on the head, I think, with what they've done down there. Those people have tried to have galleries in town. I tried to have a little gallery myself, a studio gallery space there a year or two ago. It's really hard work. It's genuinely very hard going. So they're real grafters, and they also are so inclusive of all the artists around Kerry, or they do their best to be. I mean, I'm sure there's loads of artists that probably haven't even been there yet. There's absolutely loads of artists in Kerry. But they, like, even setting up exhibitions for us, like, we did an exhibition there as a group, the Kerry Art Now exhibition. It was in the Department of Tourism during the summer. Like, it was beautiful. It was absolutely gorgeous exhibition. 20 artists, everyone just brought a piece, and then they swapped it over, and everyone had a different piece or whatever. And again, a similar group is exhibiting now in the Grills Gallery for December. So it's just a really lovely thing that they're doing, and, like, it's exactly what's needed. Artists need opportunities. They need exhibition spaces because people have gorgeous work, and like, you can make a beautiful event out of something. You know, just give them the space, basically.
My name is Neil Nessens, and I live in West Kerry in Brandon. Lucy and Robert are amazing people because, you know, they're not just artist-friendly people. They love artists. They're trying to champion art. It, you know, I don't get the feeling that when you come in here, it's a shop, even though the work is for sale. Their interest in the work is far, far deeper than that. And they love creativity. They're creative people themselves. They make art themselves and many other creative things. And I think the whole ethos of the Grille Gallery is so healthy and so welcoming. And so, you know, they're celebrating what these artists are doing. And I think their interest in the work comes true in the shows they have. There's always a surprise. It's an eclectic kind of work that they have here, and they're interested in it all. And I know Robert is there behind me, and so I don't want to say too much about him, but you know, they are great people, and they've become friends as well as, you know, gallerists to all of us.
Hi, my name is Ciara O'Connor, and I'm an embroidery and textile artist from Kinmare. Oh, it's incredible, you know, ever since we met Lucy and Robert Carter, we've just become a lot more aware of what's going on around Kerry and the Kerry art scene, and they're just so supportive and bringing everyone in and getting people together. And like, these guys are all great, but I never see them unless Lucy and Robert bring us together somehow, you know. So yeah, that's been really special, because it's something that is more difficult in Kerry, you know, like I see in other counties where all the artists kind of, you know, they network, they collaborate, they do things together, but we could be, you know, 2.5 hours drive from each other, you know, so it's not a case of just like meeting up on a weekly basis or and it is one of the difficulties of being an artist in Kerry is having that those creative spaces and being around other artists. A lot of Kerry artists, as you know, they're off in their home studios, they're working on their own, and for most of us it really helps to be around other artists. So, you know, that's something we're all working towards, how we come together more.
So what are Lucy and Robert Carter's hopes for the future?
We've got next year books, so we've filled our calendar for next year. We're doing 7 exhibitions again. From the very first exhibition, we sort of make connections with other artists, and that's how it builds. So from Charlie Tyrrell, we would have met Rachel Parry and Cormac, and they would have handed us on to, let's say, the likes of Paul Moss. So we're learning as we go and meeting these incredible artists who are showing with us. So just excited about the year ahead.
We continue running the gallery for many years to come. I mean, this next year will be our 4th year, and each year that we've done, we've seen an increase in the number of visitors. And we just hope that continues, really.
Yeah, that was Robert and Lucy Carter there. What a great service they're providing to the county through their gallery. And it's a great showcase for local artists and artists within the county, and their own talented work as well. Well worth the visit there on the River Lown in Killorglin. Now we're going to take a break, and we're going to be sticking with the arts team, because we have our Kerry County Council Creative Kingdom with Kate Kennelly and special guests. Now it is the second Saturday of the month, so it's time for our Kerry County Council Creative Kingdom, letting you know what's going on in the arts world around the county. We have two very special guests that we'll be speaking to shortly, but first, Kate Kennelly, Arts Officer with Kerry County Council, is with us as always. Kate, how are you this morning?
Very well, Joe. And can I wish a happy Valentine's Day to you and your listeners, as appropriate?
Very good. You can, you all romantic, you can, of course. So tell us, Kate, what have you been up to in the arts office?
Well, now, Joe, when you say romantic, you're making me think, when I was in art college, one of my tutors described my style as romantic expressionism. But I think I've moved on a bit from then with age. Anyway, come here in the arts office. Yes, we've been very, very busy, Joe. And you know, we have awarded all the 2026 funding. So for the Arts Act grant and the artist bursaries and awards and our contributions funding, they have all been announced and awarded, and the Creative Ireland Kerry grants will be announced shortly. And I know we'll be going to David, who has been involved with Creative Ireland Kerry as well. But just to say, I did get the opportunity, Joe, to get out and about a little bit in January and early February. So I was over in brilliant Ballybunion, as it has been renamed, with Lisa Fingleton and the local community group there the day the President came and the Minister for Arts and the Minister for Education. But more than that, you had the whole community, Joe, and the schools, and such a great sense of community coming together through creativity and through looking at climate action in a positive way, and looking at sustaining their own, I suppose, in terms of farming and food production locally. So it was really interesting, and the President spoke so well, very dignified and very elegant. It was lovely. And on the Saturday, I managed to make it to Killorglin, Joe, to see the Biddy's Day parade and the performances afterwards from the Biddy's groups, which were just fantastic. But you know, one of the nicest things was when I was in the crowd, I was chatting to some of the families and the parents who were there with their children, and who go around on all the, I suppose, when people are coming together and they're rehearsing and they're practicing, and the sense of community, Joe, again, and through music and through dance. And it was just absolutely fantastic. Talk about having a healthy, living cultural heritage. And certainly Mid Kerry has been leading the way there. So just well done to Niall Brown and all the team there on the Biddy's Day. They did fantastic as well. And, you know, it's things like this that it just really, I suppose, hones and shines a light on the fact that the county has so much to offer. Every single day there's something on. And just to encourage your listeners again to take every opportunity to be aware of what's on, because, you know, there's so much on that's really, really good. And speaking of, I better pass you over so you can talk to David and Aidan.
Yeah, very good. And just to mention as well, Aidan and Bridoga, there is a big Biddy revival, because all the school kids in the locality, in the Gaeltacht areas in particular, in Ivrahic, they actually they revived the whole Biddy and the couple born, and they had the straw hats and everything on. So it's excellent to see. And it's true arts and culture that this revival is taking place. So it's fantastic. And yes, you did mention him. It's now time to go to David Fortune to speak about his Creative Ireland Kerry Creative Communities projects. So, David, what have you been up to? What are you involved in?
Hi, Joe. Thanks for having us on. We've an event launching today called Create and Animate, which we worked on last year, Creative Communities with Creative Ireland with Kerry County Council. And our project is we're going to be showcasing all the animations. We worked with different schools around the county. So we're really, really looking forward to it. It's going to run for 2 weeks in Kerry County Museum from today until February 28th.
What does it entail, yeah, David?
Yeah, so each school that we went to, we looked at stop motion animation. So each class that we worked with would have gotten groups of maybe three or four, and so each group would have made animations. So we've got quite a lot of animations from the different schools. We visited 9 different schools around the county, and really varied. Our style is, what we want to do is kind of bring out the creative process within the children. Encourage, obviously, it was group work. So they're working together, all different abilities, and I suppose showing that there's different ways to be creative outside of maybe your traditional drawing and things like that. So really kind of encouraging that. And yeah, we got a great response. So we're looking forward to spreading that, I suppose, and showcasing the work, giving that kind of extra value. And it's great that we're at Kerry County Museum or allowing that as well.
Stop motion, describe what that is. It kind of brings up memories of me of, you know, those Plasticine Mála, or, you know, Wallace and Gromit, is it?
Yeah, so that kind of thing. So you can, we didn't do a lot of plasticine. We used a lot of found objects, so we could concentrate, because I suppose we had 4 visits with the schools, and they really developed everything from story, set, music, sound effects. They did editing. So we wanted them to get jump into it as soon as. So there wasn't a ton of modeling. It was more of like, what can we animate and what can we kind of purpose? So there was a bit of, we did a little bit of paper animation where they could cut out things and make kind of quick stuff that way. Yeah, a lot of kind of like repurposing. It could be nature, it could be sometimes they use their like a full body animation, so kids using their arms and hands and their so using themselves as the objects. I suppose it was that kind of a good bit of like problem solving, and which is important with creativity, and then kids could, yeah, it would really be more creative, you know, around that as well. So it was lots of fun.
Yeah, it sounds like a great project for a child to be involved with, because there's a lot of use of the imagination. You mentioned problem-solving skills there, and people are gathering together, young people particularly, to kind of get that creative side of themselves out of themselves, to be able to express themselves.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's it, yeah. It's really, really important to have that kind of time to slow down and work as a group. It can be really, really rewarding for children as well to work in that kind of peer engagement. Some of the schools we went to, like a small school in Coors and just outside Carrigrohane, where you'd have different ages working together, which was really, really great. So you could have a mixed group. It could be sixth class, could be third class, fourth class. And that kind of thing, I think you can really bring kids on. And also, I suppose, it's not just the older children teaching the younger children. It can be the older children can learn a lot from the younger children as well, in ways of expressing themselves and that kind of freedom to express that sometimes can be lost as they get older, you know. So really kind of, I think that kind of idea of children kind of owning their own creativity as well, and giving them that empowerment, you know, that we're trying to, I suppose, that's the kind of aim with Me and the Moon, our workshops that we do, that we're really kind of facilitating, giving a demonstration, this is how you can do it, and then let's see what you can do with that, with those kind of tools and with that knowledge.
Yeah, Coors is a wonderful national school. Michael O'Sullivan is the principal there. Graham O'Sullivan, Kerry Starr's father. In relation to the animation then, it's another great thing as well, is that, you know, young people, give them kind of a career springboard as well. They can kind of see what animation is like. And this country is getting a great reputation for animation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely, Joe. Like, it shows like the different roles within producing an animation, you know, from storyboarding and sound effects and music to character development and all that. Yeah, and yeah, animation, you know, it's definitely a career path. I think. Off the top of my head, I think MTU might have some animation courses, and there's lots of scope for it. We're sure in, I think they're winning awards all around, you know, like within, is it in Kilkenny, there's some great animators there, you know. Yes. You know, so like, and this kind of thing, I think, going back to like the showcasing that's on today in Kerry County Museum that we're starting, it's kind of celebrating that work, you know, and celebrating children's work is really, really important. So other children, so hopefully this project doesn't just impact the 9 schools and the children we visited, but it can also impact other children who maybe do animation at home on their parents' phone or on an iPad or something, and then they see, oh, that's kind of like what I do, you know. So that really can kind of it can give a good big lift to children and see that other kids' work has been celebrated this way.
So it's been launched today, David, at the Kerry County Museum, so people can go along and see?
Absolutely, yeah. So it's on today, Saturday, February 14th, Valentine's Day. And then it's going to run for 2 weeks until February 28th.
Excellent.
So, yeah, get yourself down there.
Brilliant. David, thanks a million.
You're welcome. I should, just before, one last thing, sorry. It's also, you can view the animations on our website.
That's brilliant. For,
if you can't get to the museum.
Yeah, that's brilliant for everyone else as well. David, thanks a million and continued success.
Thanks, Joe.
And from Creative Ireland Kerry Community Project, we'll go to another great projects involving the drama community, and that is Aidan Reedy is on the line now to speak about the Kerry Drama Festival. Aidan, it's great to speak to you again. How have you been doing, and what's the build-up like to the Kerry Drama Festival?
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Kate. The build-up is getting more difficult every year. Difficult to get groups, because of financial reasons, groups are... find it hard to go on the road. It's a big difficulty, but we'll struggle on. You know, we'll struggle on, and we'll do our best to keep it going. The Kerry Drama Festival this year is running between the 6th and the 13th of March in the Ivy Leaf Castle Island. Our adjudicator this year is Jerry Stembridge. Jerry was part of the Scrap Saturday team one time, and I haven't seen him adjudicate before, but apparently he's supposed to be excellent with audiences and everything. I'll give you a rundown, Joe, if you don't mind, on what we have in the programme.
Do, yeah, and give us the dates first of all, and then head away then.
Yeah, well, on Friday the 6th of March, we have a group from Clare, first time, Coorta Clare, Cree Drama Group, and they're doing Awake in the West by Michael Joe Ginley. The play, again, the play is set in the west of Ireland, where a wake of a local man brings hilarious moments. It's supposed to be very funny play. And on the Saturday night, the next night, on the 7th of March, we have Gagan Drama Group from Cork, again, newcomers to us, and they're doing a play, A Living Will, by Jim Keane. And it's set in a rural farmhouse. It tells the story of a cruel, money-hungry farmer, Fintan Flynn, and his long-suffering family. A letter from his estranged brother in America threatens to dig up long-buried secrets. So looking forward to that. And on Sunday, the 8th of March, we have Clontarf Drama Group from Dublin. The play is I Never Sang for My Father by Robert Anderson. Again, a moving and perceptive play that explores the strained lifelong relationship between a middle-aged son and his domineering father. And Monday night, the 6th, we have a Kerry group, Mimri Lane Theatre from Kerry Padraig Dinhi with his group. And we're delighted to have a Kerry group. And the play they're doing is Heaven by Eugene O'Brien. Again, it's Mal and Molly that are at the crossroads in their life. They are struggling to keep their marriage together. Perhaps attending a wedding will help it, might raise questions that are difficult to answer. Looking forward to that. And we've two nights, unfortunately, blank. We've only 6 of the 8. So we then go to the Thursday night, and we have Holy Cross Ballycahill Drama Group. They're doing Sive. We all know about Sive, John B. Keane. It's the John B. Keane classic. It's a tale of greed, loneliness, love, and tragedy. And on the final night, the Friday night, we have our old friends and from Kilmeen Drama Group from Cork, and they're doing Ballyturk by Inda Walsh. And again, the lives of 2 women unravel over the course of the play, who are they, what room is this, and what might be beyond the walls. So it's a kind of an intriguing kind of a play, and that is our last night. And just to say, before I forget it, I'd like to thank Kerry County Council Arts Department for their support for the festival. It's very important to us, you know?
Yeah, it's an appetising menu you have there all the same, Aidan, isn't it?
Yeah, it is good. Again, there's a couple of plays we haven't seen at the festival before. I know we've all seen Sive, but it's lovely to see Sive. People love to see Sive, but the rest of the plays, they haven't been in the festival before, and that encourages people to come, you know?
Mm. But I always find as well, it depends on the production, it's always a different version of a play. Like The Field, I've seen a few different times, or, you know, you'd see the play by The Western World. It's a completely different experience each time.
Yeah, yeah. It every group puts a different slant on it.
Yes,
you know?
Exactly.
And this group, Holy Cross, they're on the long time, and they will do a very good job in the John B. Keane play. They will do a very good job, you know.
And if people want to go along and they want more information, can they rock up on the night, or do they have to pre-book tickets?
Well, we can pre-book. We'll be printing our posters. I have a new telephone number for booking. I just haven't it with me, but we will be printing our posters, and they can walk up on the night with the help of God. That it'd be lovely to say we're booked out, that they can't, but There will always be seats. We'll always fit people in, you know.
All right. And if people want more information, where do they go?
Well, we have a Kerry Drama Festival Facebook page, and we will be putting the information up now as we go along. You know, it's getting the time now for doing all this, you know.
Excellent. Aidan, thanks a million for coming on, and best of luck with the Kerry Drama Festival.
And thank you very much. Thank you very much, Joe.
Now we're going to go to break, and after that, we'll be speaking more with Kate Kennelly.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry. Brought to you by Quinlan's Fish Shops and Seafood Bars, located across Kerry. Take the fear out of fish and chat to our fishmongers about how to add delicious, easy-to-cook seafood into your menu. Oven and air fryer-ready meals available.
You're listening to The Saturday Supplement with Joe McGill on Radio Kerry.
It is the second Saturday of the month, and Kate Kennelly, Arts Officer with Kerry County Council, is still with us for our Kerry County Council Creative Kingdom. So, Kate, what have we going on now into the month of February and into March, into the spring?
Into the spring, Joe's right. So we've already heard, as you obviously, and you mentioned as well, so Action of Bridoiga has happened. I made Fianna on last month, and it was brilliant. The Biddy's Day has happened. So the other item we have on our calendar for Mina Fiora is Skull Kiol an Arig back in Balian or Thearig in Dangany Cush. So that takes place from the 18th of February to the 22nd of February. And the contact is Niamh Ní Mhaoil. We've had Niamh on last year, do you remember, Joe? And all details are on their website, which is skullkiol.com. So that's skullkiol.com. And then, Joe, into March, quite early in the month, we'll have the Gathering Music Festival. That takes place primarily out in the INEC Killarney from the 4th to the 8th of March. But it also takes place in a lot of schools around the Killarney, the wider district, really. And it's John O'Shea and his team there have been running it for many, many years. A very successful music festival, great focus on traditional music, and they always have top class musicians. And I must say, I did make it into some of the schools' workshops around the was it before COVID or after COVID? But the musicians were fantastic and the children just enjoyed every single minute of it. And it's great to see it, Joe. And then into March, we'll be talking about the other things, I suppose, next month. There's a few more. You have the Ballydunhill Bardic Animation Dingle. And there's some Cardin Shkriv Norach as well, the Padraig MacArgusus. There's plenty coming up, Joe.
Yeah, and that's what I meant to say when we were talking to David about Animation Dingle as well. Isn't it brilliant to have that within the county as well, an animation festival? We've nearly a festival for anything you'd want in this county.
I love it. We do, absolutely. And, you know, even when I was looking back there, Joe, at November, December, I mean, it was one of the busiest times for me in the year, just with all the events that were on. And January wasn't quiet either, you know. So I suppose just to mention to your listeners as well, because I don't like people to get disheartened about funding if they didn't apply or if they weren't successful this year. So every year, as you know, we award funding in the arts, and, you know, we're into February. So as I always say, less than 10 months to go, you know, for the next application. So if you're looking to apply for arts funding through Kerry County Council, keep an eye out, and we will be hoping to draw the deadline back a bit again this year. We had our deadline in December this year. It was the 16th, but last year, we'd hoped to pull it back another little bit. I know in some local authorities, they advertise and adjudicate by the end of November. So people have a good lead in to be planning and organising. And we always want to help people to give them plenty of time, Joe, to organise and to know what they have to work with. So that's really important. Just to say as well, to thank everyone who did apply, because I always say it, Joe, without the people applying, without the organisers, the volunteers, the artists, the arts venues, and those who are paid in arts festivals and venues as well, you know, we wouldn't have the vibrant county we do. So just to be, I'm very grateful for the ecology of the arts in County Kerry. They're just fantastic.
That's a good point you make about, you know, applying in time and getting organised. Because when I was involved in festivals, you think for the international audience, you think more than 12 months out or 12 months out. And then when you're trying to organise things for, say, the national audience, you'd be 8 months out planning things. And as you're getting closer, then you might be more targeting local audience and things like that. So a lot of planning goes into festivals. So it is kind of, you know, you'd want to be getting your ducks in a row well in advance, wouldn't you?
Absolutely. And outside of Kerry County Council, obviously, there are other funding opportunities. So through the Arts Council nationally and also through Creative Ireland nationally, both will have other funding deadlines. There's plenty of opportunities and there's other funding streams as well. So again, Joe, I might just refer your listeners to our social media. So at Kerry Co Arts, so it's KerryCoArts. And also, if they do want to sign up for our free e-newsletter, just to email into arts@kerryco.ie and request to be joined up. And look, it goes into the inbox every 2 weeks and it carries any information that we have about events and opportunities in the county. So there's plenty there, Joe, and a lot happening. And as you say, we're into the spring now and it'll be all systems go.
Excellent. Well, enjoy Valentine's Day. No doubt you'll be spoiled. And we'll talk to you again next month.
Thank you, Joe.
That's all we have time for on the programme this morning. My thanks to Abigail Bernard, who was on sound. Pat Kelly is on the way, so keep it here on Radio Kerry. And I'll talk to you next Saturday from 9 a.m. Until then, look after yourself and take care.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry. Brought to you by Quinlan's Fish Shops and Seafood Bars, located across Kerry. Supplement your diet with a healthy and fresh dinner option. Fresh seafood from Quinlan's.